Might be good for us to take a little look at some of these maps, because this geography stuff is going to be popping out at us all over again. Have any of you ever been on a trip to the Holy Land, the Land of Israel? If you have, raise your hand. Okay, many of you will one day, because all these travel companies like to recruit pastors or recruit, you know, five people and you get a freebie, whatever. So it's a great experience to visit the sites in the land where Jesus walked and talked. And it is something that's great to share. But even without that, you do have some maps which help you a little bit. And so on page 1506, as you have before you, certain locations, perhaps I can highlight them a little bit by putting them on the screen. This isn't going to be perfectly obvious because the print is so small, but perhaps by pointing with my pencil, you can spot the temple area right there, where a lot of the great teaching of Jesus happened. And directly east of the temple area, where my pencil is here in the Kidron Valley, just barely across the Kidron Valley, is the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed the prayer of agony. It's not so marked here, but trust me, that's where it is today if you were to visit it. The Pool of Siloam is here on the south edge of the old city, the city of David. Today, it's no longer in the enclosed walls, because the enclosed walls go something like this instead of way down here. But different walls enclosed Jerusalem at different times. The Pool of Siloam is way down here, down the hill from the temple area, way down the hill. And, of course, you notice the Gihon Spring is over here. And there is a little broken line that shows the tunnel underground that goes from the Gihon Spring to the Pool of Siloam. And that was built at the time of the Assyrian attack, time of King Hezekiah. It's called the Hezekiah Tunnel. That's no big surprise, right? And that still has water flowing through it from the spring to the Pool of Siloam. John chapter 9 talks about the Pool of Siloam, where Jesus sent the man blind from birth to be washed. Okay? He was sent to be washed at the Pool of Siloam. I have taken several tour groups through this Hezekiah tunnel, and it's not an easy thing to carry off, because first of all, you have to bribe the gatekeepers to get in at all, and you have to be able to speak German to do that. And of course, you have to roll up your pants, so you have water coming up above your knees. You know, you go through several feet of water as you go, but it's a beautiful experience to get to the other side, inside the old walls where the Pool of Siloam is. Then over here you see where it says the traditional upper room, and if you notice my pencil point, it's right there. This is where it is believed that Jesus took the Last Supper, and this was in the Essene quarter of the old city. And you notice this is the part of the city that is the farthest away from the temple, and the Essenes, the few who would remain in Jerusalem, would live there. And who would be carrying a pitcher of water that they might follow to prepare the Passover? It would have to be an Essene person, wouldn't it? Because all the other guys had women to carry water. The Essenes were very abstemious, and they didn't believe that marriage was a good idea, because they needed to devote themselves totally to prayer and to scriptures and to copying scriptures and to fasting and to ablutions and whatever. And so chances are, we don't know this for sure, but chances are, the man who is carrying a water jar on his head would likely be in a scene in that kind of a culture. And this is probably where Jesus took the Last Supper. It's probably also the location where Mary, the mother of Mark, lived, in this same area. Matter of fact, when I visited there in my first visit, they told us that that's the same place. Who knows? We don't know that. But it's probably very close. Herod's royal palace over here at the western side of the old city, which is near to where today the Joppa Gate is, Joppa being a major city on the west coast, on the Mediterranean, next to the modern city of Tel Aviv. And here you have the traditional site of the crucifixion outside of the old city walls. Today, it is very much inside the walled city, because the modern walls extend further north, as you see here from those broken lines. And the garden tomb, traditional garden, well, the traditional site, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, is here. While I'm at it, I may as well throw in a commercial. There is Redeemer Lutheran Church really very close to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and it has a tower from which you can overlook the rest of the old city. But so far, I've never been able to bribe my way to get up to the top of the tower because they don't let people up there anymore, I guess for good reasons, security reasons probably. You know, this is a very tumultuous city. Anyway, Lutheran Church is there. It's not Missouri Synod, it's ALC. I guess that would be Elko today, probably. It was ALC when I visited it. And they have services in German, English, and Arabic. A lot of Arabic Christians in the Holy Land, more so than Jewish Christians, interestingly. You wouldn't be surprised at that, would you? Okay, and the Garden Tomb, this is outside the walls today. Another possible site for the burial of Jesus, but historically probably not accurate. But if you're a tourist, it gives you the idea much more visually. It's above ground, and the rocks around it look like a skull. And it was Gordon, General Gordon, who made that observation a few centuries ago. And today they take tourists there usually, so you can kind of visualize it. It is outside of the city today, but so was the traditional site in the time of Jesus. Anyway, I just want to point out a few significant map items about Jerusalem. But since we're on the map kick here, now let's turn to page 1510, please. Now, some of the things you might remember, here's Jerusalem. You can't forget that. That's way down south. That's the holy city. That's where the temple was. That's where the events of Holy Week take place. That's why we call it the holy city, I suppose. But it's also called the holy city ready in the Old Testament. And the Dead Sea, which, by the way, is not an important point in biblical history, but it nevertheless is important in the history of the Holy Land. You see a whole bunch of cities that have these little square boxes. It's the region of the Decapolis. Now, deca is the Greek numeral for 10, polis, word for city, the region of the 10 cities. There were 10 Greek cities, like Philadelphia. Today it has a different name. It's called Amman. Amman, Jordan, has more than half of the population of the whole country of the Hashemite kingdom of the Jordanians. Anyway, Philadelphia in Bible times, the Greek city. Gerasa, Pella, where the Christians fled when Jerusalem was destroyed. Cisapolis, if you ever visit the Holy Land, you want to go there to see the magnificent ruins there. It's called Beth Shan in the Hebrew, but Cisapolis in the Greek. You probably will hear it called Beth Shan when you go there. Gadara. Now, today we already learned about the Gadarene demoniac, right? And the demons that were driven out and went into the Sea of Galilee. So Gadara, one of the Greek cities, the Gentiles occupied Decapolis for the most part. There weren't many Jews in that region for obvious reasons. And it goes all the way up to Damascus. Now, you don't have to remember all the names of those cities, but at least you should be aware where that region is. It's on the other side of the Jordan. Now, the areas that were controlled by the different Herods, of course, the southern region here, Judea, and the middle region of the country, Samaria, controlled by Herod Archelaus. And Herod the Great controlled the whole country, the father did. But when he died, he split it up. So Archelaus controlled the lower portion of the country. After he was deposed, the Roman procurators controlled this part of the country until Herod Agrippa I, and he was given charge of the greater part of the land again, Herod Agrippa I. Well, where did the Herod who wanted to see Jesus have his headquarters? Probably right here on the edge of the Sea of Galilee at the city of Tiberias. This is then called the Lake of Tiberias. Tiberias, the big city on the lake, is called the Lake of Galilee, the Lake Gennesaret. Gennesar is on the northern edge. All right, so it had many names. But this is the area in which Jesus did his public ministry, in and around and on and over the Sea of Galilee, and, of course, in the Galilean region. And why? Well, he was far away from Jerusalem here, and most of his disciples were Galileans, and they were willing to listen to him, and the people up there were willing to listen to him, and they weren't besieged day by day always by the Jews from Jerusalem who were under control of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And thus he could do a peaceful ministry for the most part, even though he had spies coming sometimes who sought to detract his ministry. And he had ways of getting around them. We talked about his teaching in parables a while ago. Okay. Bethsaida is the city of Peter and Andrew and Philip. They all came from there. And it doesn't surprise you that Peter and Andrew and, well, James and John, these Galileans were fishermen. They made their livelihood on the sea. Okay, there is much more to the Holy Land, but maybe that's about enough that we can digest for this one moment of map work. Yes, please.
Just for a point of reference, where is Nazareth?
Nazareth, very good question. Do you see where my pinpoint here is at kind of the edge of the crown? If you draw a line from Haifa, which is here, to the southern edge of the Sea of Galilee, Nazareth is about there. Okay? And it's kind of on the southern tier of Galilee. So when Jesus goes to Capernaum, which is up here, a very important city to include, Capernaum is on the north edge of the sea, it was far enough away from Nazareth that the folks from Nazareth didn't get up there a whole lot because it was a pretty fair journey on foot. But it wasn't that far that he could get back home again if he wanted to. And, you know, Jesus traveled a lot by foot, as did his disciples as they walked with him. But here is Capernaum. Here is Nazareth. And Nain is not far from there, but we'll have to look at more maps on another day. This is just to get us started.